welcome to another episode of the Chicago Football Podcast. And good news for you loyal podcast listeners, I pressed the record button this week, so we actually have some Chicago Bears player interviews for you on today's show. I am Kevin Fishbane. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane, joined by my executive producer Dan Mott at Mott's Thoughts, and my associate producer John Sally at JSally. And we have intern Sam learning the ropes here in our beautiful Crystal Lake studios for the Chicago Football Podcast. Check out all our Bears news and stories at Bears underscore insider on Twitter. Everything is at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. We don't accept anything less. And John, the Bears had another OTA yesterday. It was the last one open to the media.
And you survived.
I survived yesterday.
They're going to let you come back.
Very nice outside.
Yeah.
Beautiful day. It was. And watch some football. And let me see you. This is our third week in a row of what can I tell you that won't get my credential revoked?
It's America's favorite game show, really.
I did have like a hesitation. I was rolling into Hallis Hall yesterday and I showed my security badge. I'm like, are they going to be like, you know what? We heard you mention that catch Josh Bellamy made last week.
You're out.
You're going to have to take this OTA off. One of the things, we have a video up on the website that Hub and I did talking about the wide receivers because Eddie Royal did not practice. Not sure why, probably just, resting, maybe a little, got nicked here or there. He said he'll be back for the minicamp next week. He was injured at times last year, obviously. So no Royal, no Jeffrey. So you get to see more of these wide receivers. And we've talked about this on the show. I'm excited for that competition because you have guys that we've seen before. We know what they can do competing for just a couple roster spots. Marquise Wilson's kind of at a quiet camp, made a nice catch. Josh Bellamy continued to play well. Daniel Braverman and Mark Mariani both had some big plays over the middle of the field. So that's kind of the position I'm going to watch. And with those top guys being out, you get a little more opportunity to see those players work with Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer. The other thing I noticed, Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, so active. And they're running around. They're loud. They're making plays. A little trash talk going on between the offense and defense. And covering tight ends is something this team struggled at last year. And that's where these two, especially probably Trevathan, can really help. Freeman's going to be making the calls. I imagine Trevathan will be more involved in coverage stuff. But just that upgrade in itself, I think Pro Football Focus called it maybe the best position upgrade in the league. Just
It's hard to see how it's not.
It's look, last year the following players started a game at inside linebacker. Shea McClellan, John Timu, Christian Jones, Jonathan Anderson, and Leroy Reynolds. And now you have Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Not Pro Bowlers yet.
Close.
Close. But close. So much better than what they had last year. And those guys did kind of stand out to me at the practice yesterday. Some news after practice. Ooh. Manny Ramirez has retired.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
What was your favorite part of Manny Ramirez's time with the Bears?
When I thought that they signed the baseball player for like 10 seconds.
I'll credit Manny Ramirez, the football version, with this. It is very hard to stop playing football. I think we've learned any sport. I mean, football might be one of the easier ones because of the health considerations. But to come to that conclusion at this point and not keep playing and trying to get those paychecks, to realize your body, physically, you're just not able to do it, that takes a lot. And the Bears now, maybe some depth questions to consider at guard, and this puts the pressure on Hronis Grassou. Time for him to step up at center.
How many people brought up Matt Slauson to you yesterday? I know Ramirez and Slauson, different guys, but
yeah, I saw something on Twitter today about it. It's hard because Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach, John Fox, Dal Loggins, there was obviously reasons to part ways in Matt Slauson that we probably don't understand, and they're not going to explain it to us in full detail. Simply put, Slauson did not fit what they wanted for this year at the guard position, or I guess at the center position. And Manny Ramirez, wasn't going to start, so I don't necessarily see him. The Slauson questions I think are going to come if Grassou struggles at center, or if Ted Larson or Cody Whitehair struggle at guard. And the Bears would probably say to themselves that Matt Slauson might have struggled too. We don't know, but I'm sure we'll get a lot of that. Look, they're still strong in the interior in terms of they got guys who are experienced and they have some depth. But this takes one veteran away, a veteran who's very familiar with the scheme, having played for John Fox in Denver. And you know, they're still kind of thin at tackle. This is a unit, the offensive line, that I think as we get the pads on and we start to see them work, we might have some concerns about them because outside Kyle Long, there's not really a sure thing on the entire offensive line.
And it's not a unit that can afford an injury.
No.
Especially a bad one.
No, no, no. So that was the news. Also, breaking news about an hour before we podcasted, the Bears have waived Lake Zurich's Matt Blanchard.
Do we have number four quarterback.
I thought, 2013 preseason, never forget Matt Blanchard hitting Marquise Wilson for a long touchdown. Dalen Williams is now the new Bears number four quarterback, TCU rookie. You can't really glean anything from rookie minicamp, but I will tell you this. I did notice the Dartmouth quarterback was spinning a pretty good ball. Usually the quarterbacks of rookie minicamp are awful. And this guy was pretty good. He's super short. He's listed at 6 feet. I don't buy that for a second. But he's just a number four quarterback, maybe practice squad guy.
So he was Trevon Boykin's backup then, right? If he's from TCU?
Dartmouth.
Okay, so this guy's from Dartmouth.
This guy's the Dartmouth guy, yes. So, which means he's a smart guy, too, I would imagine.
You'd think.
Dartmouth is a pretty good school. So that was the news coming out of this week. But really the most important thing for all you listeners, I pressed record.
Yes.
I talked to the first interview you'll hear, which you'll hear in just a moment, is with Bears rookie cornerback Kevin Peterson. Undrafted rookie, but we had, I believe, a fourth or fifth round grade on him by Greg Gabriel's scouting report. So there are a lot of people obviously heading into the draft that were pretty high in him. And he's going to talk about, as you'll hear in this interview, I hate to use the phrase chip on your shoulder, but this guy, the way he talks about the motivation from not being drafted, kind of the epitome of that mentality. Here's the interview here with cornerback Kevin Peterson.
What would you say is the technique you're most trying to hone out here, your cornerback technique?
Just trying to make the receiver go around you. You know, we have a whole lot of calls that go in. You know, we're in a half, we're in a third, we're playing two, we're playing man. So, you know, just honing on your technique just overall because you got a whole lot of different things that you play. You know, it's a whole different level from college. You know, college, you probably have two or three calls. You play two or three techniques out here. You play 1,000 different techniques, 1,000 different things. So, you know, just making sure your feet are good because, you know, feet come first. We get paid, we have good feet, corners do. So, you know, just being able to get your hands on receivers and things like that. But first, you got to get paid with your feet. So,
you've been playing a little nickel out here, it looks like,
yes,
playing inside. The agility you got to have there, what's kind of have the footwork, what's been kind of going into that to try to get better at that?
Just a lateral movement. You know, yeah. It's a lot of lateral stuff. You know, you could be in the flats, you could be in the seam, or you could be back in the quarter. So, you know, it's a lot of different aspects you have to have. You know, you got to be able to really play every angle that you could play. You know, a corner, you're playing more side to side than up and down. You play a nickel, you're blitzing in the back, you're covering everybody. So, you know, you really got to have a wide variety of things you can do.
Mm-hmm. Have you learned anything or talked to, like, Tracy or Kyle, some of the guys who have been here a little bit, and try to pick their brains and take things that you see them do?
Definitely. You know, just patience. Patience and understanding the offense. You know, you have a technique that you have to play, but also the offense is doing something. They're trying to attack you a certain way. So the more you can understand the offense and what they're doing, the better you can play the game, the faster you can play, the slower you're thinking. So, you know, just being able to understand what they're doing and play through your technique.
What's Ed Donatell like?
Funny. Yeah. Funniest coach I probably ever had.
Funny, really?
Funny.
I didn't peg him as a comedian.
Yeah, wired. You know, he always has, he always has quick fire. You know, you have somebody that has jokes, you joke on them, they have a joke for you right back. That's Coach Donatell, and it's every aspect. You know, he's really technical about things. He knows when to turn it up, turn it down. He knows when to coach you hard or when to understand, try to see what you're coming, where you're coming from on a player's, things like that. So, you know, it's really I'd say he's up there, one of the best coaches that I've had.
Mm-hmm. Now, Saturday of the draft, what was that day like for you?
It was frustrating, because I'm a competitor. You know, I felt like I showcased myself really well, played against a lot of the top receivers throughout my college career and did well against them. And so, you know, I thought that would carry over into coming into the NFL. But, you know, it was a lot of things you can't control when it comes to the draft. You know, I feel like there's a lot of politics involved. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can't do anything. You know, God has a plan for everybody, I feel like. But that was definitely a frustrating day. You know, I feel like I was one of the top five guys, top 10 guys in the draft. You know, didn't get drafted. So definitely frustrating. But, you know, I'm here now, and I'm trying to make the best opportunity I have now.
how much do you think about that? I mean, I know you don't want to necessarily think about that day, but you obviously, I'm sure, use it as motivation.
Oh, definitely. I think about that day a lot. You know, I think about that day every time I get out here on the field. They didn't think I was good enough to, you know, really the draft is about who pays the most money for you to come there. But at the end of the day, the best player is going to play. So, you know, I think about that. I take that into consideration, thinking that they think a lot of guys are better than me, even though I've proved myself time in and time out. So just another opportunity to go out there and prove myself. So, you know, it's just a fuel to the fire big time.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to read you your scouting report that I read on a website. Okay. I want you to tell me how much this is actually accurate.
Okay, okay.
All right, he is quick, fast, and sudden. So
yeah.
far, so good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But his lack of size hurts. His trouble matching up against bigger receivers and stronger receivers. While he will compete, he loses the battle sometimes. Willing in run support, but his lack of size and strength limits what he can do. Has enough talent to eventually become a nickel corner, but will need to get stronger if he is to succeed. What do you think? I did not write that. That was not me. Found that. Are you kind of used to hearing some of those things?
I'm used to hearing some of those things. But if you turn on that film, you know I'm one of the tacklers on the defense, one of the most sure tacklers that I have. I go up and hit the running backs, tight ends, big receivers, no matter who it is. And you can turn on any tape. Anytime you see me running, anytime you see that number one jersey in defense coming in, he's making a tackle. I can't remember what my missed tackles was, but I can probably count it on one hand. So, you know, the physical part, you turn on my film, you see me body, I'm probably one fourth with the quotations of guy's size, and I'm always getting down to the ground. So, you know, that's more seeing things and saying, oh, he's the big guy, he's going to win that battle 9 times out of 10, but 10 times out of 10, I'm winning that battle. That's something I really pride myself on, was tackling this past year. Did that time in and time out. I mean, beating defenders, getting about cut blocks, you know, doing all that. I mean, if you turn the tape on and put that against other guys, then, you know, just add 20 pounds to me, and you think I was a safety, I feel like. So, you know, I don't agree with that at all. You know, I feel like
you want me to cut this out and you can paste it on your
I've already seen that. I've seen it. So, you know, I really base my game on being I may be a little in size, you know, I feel like that's more genetics. I'm probably one of the stronger guys on the teams that I've been on, but you know, I got to go out there and play and prove myself. So,
what's the rookie bonding been like? You guys do some, I know they put you in the basement here. Mm-hmm. You have some kind of fun rookie bonding things you guys
do? Yeah,
doing?
I mean, arguing about anything. Anytime there's any kind of topic, especially basketball, I mean, as soon as you say anything about LeBron or Kobe.
You got a Warriors-Cavs situation?
I'm a Kyrie Irving fan, okay. So I'm really upset right now. You know, I feel like he's playing his potential. I feel like I got to give him a call one of these days and tell him, hey, we got to get this. You're supposed to be a superstar.
Wait, do you have Kyrie Irving's number?
No, I don't. I wish I did, though. I let him know some things. So.
But what about the Thunder? Are you going to be Oklahoma
I'm
guy?
I'm not a big Thunder fan. Okay. I feel like KD doesn't come in clutch as much as he should. Uh-oh. You know, but, you know,
because KD listens to the podcast, I assume, so you got to be careful.
Here. Yeah, okay, yeah. No. I mean, he's up there doing his thing. He's, you know, he's a superstar. He's earned his stripes. But I'm a Russell Westbrook fan big time.
Okay.
Huge competitor. I feel like if he played football, he'd probably be one of the nastiest safeties in the league. So.
Yeah. when you guys, the rookies, all hang out with each other, do you just make Leonard pay for everything?
No. Whenever money comes up, everybody kind of, Leonard, you got the tab? Or you got it? Yeah,
that
yeah.
That commercial got the alligator.
Yeah, yeah. We were saying we got to get a radio downstairs in the dungeon, and we said everybody look directly to Leonard. So,
who's one NFL quarterback you would love to pick off?
He just retired. I wanted to get Peyton Manning. Yeah. I wanted to get Peyton. Peyton would definitely be at the top of my list.
All right, quick lightning round. You ready?
Okay.
Favorite food.
Chicken.
Something you've seen in Chicago or something you want to do in Chicago, like a touristy thing.
Get some of the deep dish pizza.
There you go. Pump music before a game.
Anything Drake, really.
That's not a good answer. What's one thing you got to have on the road with you?
Charger.
Smart. And then your Twitter was Pistol Peterson, right?
Yep, Pistol underscore Peterson. It was a kid in high school. I was going to OSU and it was Pistol Pete, and he just threw the RSON on there, and so I kind of been rolling with that ever since. His name was Kyle Peters, actually. He was the real KP. Everybody calls me KP, so I was like, okay, I got to get something different. And then Pistol Pete, Pistol Peterson, it's kind of a flow, so.
All right, well, Kevin, you're the second most important Kevin on this podcast because you're talking to me. But we appreciate you coming
on. You control it, guaranteed.
And welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
All right, a thank you to Kevin Peterson. I just picture all the rookies at a round table at dinner, and the bill comes, and they just all glare at Leonard Floyd. Like, just take – I mean, that's essentially what he was alluding to. Just, Leonard, hello.
Yeah,
you signed your contract now. You're signing – especially when he's comparing to the undrafted rookies.
Yeah.
Your signing bonus is a little bigger than ours right now, pal.
I think you can pick this one up.
Maybe Cody Whitehair jumps in a little bit. But interesting stuff from Kevin Peterson, who has been lining up, as I mentioned, talked to him as a nickel corner. And speaking of the nickel corner spot, on the website this week for this weekend, you'll see a story. I talked to Bryce Callahan, who, you know, they didn't sign – or draft a prototypical nickel corner.
And Bryce Callahan's been running with the ones. He's right there as your starting nickel corner for right now. I will say a year ago this week, they signed Tracy Porter. So certainly anything can happen. But Peterson being in a spot that's kind of a specific position that the Bears need, you know, that's Demontre Hurst is another one who could play nickel. Tevez Calhoun is another undrafted rookie at corner. These guys are all looking to make the roster. Jacoby Glenn, who was an undrafted rookie last year and stuck with the team throughout the season. But Porter, Fuller, Callahan, and then what? You know, you're looking at after those three, and you're talking about Porter's got injury history. Callahan was nice last year, but he was an undrafted rookie out of Rice. And then Kyle Fuller, who you'd love to see a year three jump out of him, but we just don't know. Sherrick Manis struggled last year when thrown in the nickel spot. He's more known for his special teams. A lot of questions at that position. I think it's kind of one that people forget that they're kind of thin at corner.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe a moment. I imagine this happens at some point in the season that Bears fans sort of take a look at Vernon Hargraves, who I know you know went before, but that's a guy I think that a lot of Bears fans wanted, and you know, a position in need, like you said,
right? And of course, yeah. I should mention DeAndre Hall, the fourth round pick out of Northern Iowa, and he will kind of be the top reserve on the outside. So if Porter or Fuller go down, Hall goes in. Now if Hall is outstanding, they're going to have to find a way to get him on the field. They can move Porter inside. He can play nickel if they need him to. I don't know if they're going to try to use Hall at the nickel, but they have some options there. But Kevin Peterson, keep an eye on him. You know, you're always looking for. There's always going to be one, two, three undrafted rookies that make the roster. He's at a position that needs help. He had a draftable grade by a lot of people coming out of Oklahoma State. Very confident, as you could tell from that interview, and has a lot of motivation. And he plays an important role in terms of being that inside corner.
I think if you're handicapping chances of guys who are undrafted rookies that make the roster, he's got to be near the top of that list just because of his skill set and the position in need.
And that is a perfect segue into talking about our sponsor. No, that was a terrible segue.
But that was an awful segue.
We're going to talk about Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W. Use that as your promo code, Shaw, and you get $3 off your first mystery box. Loot Crate, if you don't know, monthly subscription box service for all of you geeks, nerds, and comic book lovers, pop culture aficionados alike. I'm hoping next month, John, because they talk about pop culture, maybe a bachelorette item. In the mystery box next month. We'll see. But this month is dystopia themed. So we're talking RoboCop, Terminator 2, The Matrix, Fallout 4, some of the items. There's a $45 value in every box. You're going to get a t-shirt in your box and some other kind of knick-knack fun items there, some memorabilia. And go check out some past crates. Remember, use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W, and you get $3 off your first crate over there at lootcrate.com. I probably would have to check the analytics if we lost listeners from last week's Bachelorette talk. We'll have to wait and see.
I feel like we may have gained listeners because
fine by me. Nobody. So we did a Facebook live chat this week, and I threw it out there. I said, if you guys have Bachelorette questions, I'm ready for it.
My wife was so close to jumping in on that.
She could have. She could have jumped in.
But she doesn't watch the Bachelorette, which is kind of an issue.
I was kind of catching up as in the middle of the Facebook live chat just because I was like, well, if I say it, I actually have to have an answer. If somebody asks me a question, I got to catch up on my Bachelorette. I find this – it's just like – it's that train wreck show. You can turn your brain off and just watch it and think to yourself, this is just – men are just a stupid species is what we are.
Oh, we're idiots.
And the other thing, though, here's my problem, though, that I reached when I was watching it the other day. My cynicism meter was bursting because if you read anything about The Bachelorette, there's a guy named Chad who we talked about last week. The Jay Cutler guy who actually – I feel bad now. It's kind of a slight to Jay Cutler to ever compare him to Chad. Chad is the absolute worst. But now you watch and you're like, okay, this has got to be somewhat contrived.
They're just and keeping like them around.
If you're going to watch reality TV, you can't let yourself think like that. You just have to watch it and turn your brain off and just enjoy the absurdity. But I reached a point where I was like, this is too much. Like they had to have, you know, scripted some of this, but kind of put him in some of these positions. Okay, that is the Bachelorette talk for this week's episode.
I enjoyed it.
Let's go to our next interview. Defensive tackle Will Sutton. I think Will Sutton, as I talked to him about, is in an interesting spot here in his third season, fighting for a roster spot there on the defensive line. And intriguing stuff, you're a football person. If you're a football guy, he gets really in-depth about the being a nose tackle and trying to learn the art of that and what he's kind of changed in his game for this season. So this is third-year defensive tackle Will Sutton.
First OTA, you were a rookie, you were the draft pick. Last year, brand new system. Third year. What's going through your mind? What's it been like now?
Shoot, trying to, you know, going out there to compete so we can win some games. You know, that's the main thing. Everybody's out here competing, high energy. Everybody's going full go, but keeping everybody up, healthy, and it's fun right now. You know, this is a fun time. You know, it's been a while since we've been on the field, and everybody's just trying to get back into it and get the rest off.
But for you, what's kind of the mentality been like just going into these practices?
Compete, do, you know, get better. You know, there's always room for improvement. For me, it was just to come out here and just play at a high level and make as many plays as I can. And so, you know, you can make as many plays out here, you know, you practice makes perfect, you know.
Did you do anything different this offseason, whether like body stuff or lifting, or what was kind of the offseason plan for you?
The plan was to, you know, get more – you know, doing more position drills, getting the staying in the actual football shape. You know, you can go off season workouts, you can work out and stuff and get on the field and still be out of shape. You know, the plan was just to do drills, get our position drills that we do out here, get them in the off season, do drills that don't really pertain to football, but something that will help you with footwork, help you with hands and feet, you know, stuff in that nature.
When you watched your tape from last year, your first time in the 3-4, what did you take as something to kind of build on?
Just the, you know, actually knowing the tempo of this defense, you know, being in that nose, being a head-up nose, you know, you gotta look for a lot more stuff because you may have front side on the block, but you get a double team on the backside. You gotta play that backside double team. So just learning, just getting the speed down of recognizing blocks.
Do they have a weight they want you at, or what are you going to play at? You
know? Shoot, this year I was at – last year I was around 304. That was my max weight. I'm going to play a little lighter this year so I can start making some plays in the pass rush, you know. That was the main concern for coming into OTAs.
Have you found yourself more comfortable at nose as opposed to if they bump you to 3 or 5?
Yeah, nose is – it just became second nature now, you know. But for me, you know, I'm the swing guy. You know, last year I was at left end, nose, right end. I was all over and that's what we've been doing in OTAs. I've been going from left end, nose to right end. So it's just the feel of recognizing, you know, okay, you're in a 5 this week. You know, you can't really get off the ball like you want. When you're down in 3-tech, you know, it's more. You can get off the ball. Being head up nose, you got to read the blocks more. Being a shaded nose, you can get off the ball more. So it's just understanding where you're lined up in the defense.
That biceps injury you had last year, right? It was a bicep?
The elbow. Hyperextension,
okay.
Yeah.
So how much did that kind of rattle you, maybe physically and mentally, to try to get back from that? Because you got off to such a nice start, you had a little bit of a setback.
Yeah, it was just, you know, the actual maintaining blocks and shedding and using your hands and stuff in the pass rush, that kind of set me back a little bit. You know, by the last, probably second to last game of the year, I got back right and started picking up more. So a good thing I'm healthy this year.
So your idea of this defense today compared to today last year. I mean, how many more miles differently is it? You know, how much more comfortable are you today?
A lot more comfortable, and it's faster. You know, we got some guys in the linebacker core who are really getting after it right now, and it's making the job easier on us. But our mentality up front is, you know, we want to be able to. We demand the line of scrimmage up front. We don't need the linebackers, you know. So, but it's just real nice seeing this new linebacker core coming in and adding in a little more, you know, downhill to it.
You know that you and Ego are the longest tenured defensive linemen.
Yeah, I know.
You guys have been here. Isn't that weird?
Only 3 years. It's only 3 years. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I know. I feel like an old man.
Yeah. I mean, the getting to this point, I mean, you guys are always still competing every year to just to make the roster. I mean, do you just feel, do you feel more confidence this time around because you know the defense better? Do you see the other guys around and know you still have to kind of elevate your game a little bit?
You know, it was never a problem with, you know, the – the competition. I'm always up for competition, you know. When somebody new comes in, you bring somebody new, it just gives you that edge of just, you know, you got to go out there and play better, compete more. But then it's a good feeling because you get new guys in and you see that they're making plays, and it just makes you want to amp your play up too at the same time.
Are you still going to be the first one on the field when you guys come out for warm-ups?
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah.
Where'd that come from?
It's just always – it's game day, you know. It's that feeling, you know. It's all this OTAs, off-season workouts, practice. It's for game day, and you get to go out there and cut it loose.
Has anybody ever tried to beat you?
No, I think they just let me do it, you know. Yeah, because, you know, I –
You got some new guys this year, though.
Yeah.
You think like
I feel like, you know, they see it. They see like I'm gonna bring energy. I bring a different energy to the field, you know. And I'm always gonna. Nothing's really gonna dampen my spirit, you know. I'm up for the challenge.
So, John, you know, I get to the stadium pretty early for games.
Empty stadium pick.
Empty. Got to get that empty stadium pick out there. And so I notice when the team runs in the field, they do like there's like three different times they run in the field. First warm-ups, and then they're getting introduced. And Will Sutton is generally the first one on the field. He leads the charge onto the field.
He's like the hype man
for the
team. I like that.
So that's why I kind of wanted to ask him about that. But, you know, when I was thinking about Will Sutton and the nose tackle position, remember, they don't have Bruce Gaston anymore. Terry Williams was on the practice squad for most of last year. And they like what Will Sutton can do. And if you think about the nose tackle position and how the Bears are going to be only using two defensive linemen so often, somebody who has the quick feet and the experience rushing the passer is going to only help them. And that's where he's going to factor in.
And remember, a year ago, we were kind of questioning Will Sutton's fit. And I think he answered those questions pretty well this past year.
He did, and there's still questions for him to answer. So let's talk about his defensive line as we've been kind of going through position battles by the guys we've talked to. We know the top four: Eddie Goldman, Jonathan Bullard, Akeem Hicks, Mitch Unrein. And you know what? It's not a great top four. I mean, think about it. If you don't know these guys at all, you say, okay, second round pick in his second year. Jonathan Bullard's a third round pick. Mitch Unrein, two people probably didn't watch him last year, might consider him just a guy. And Akeem Hicks was a free agent last year and was traded at one point, you know, to the Patriots. But if you're in Chicago and you're looking for a little glass half full, I think Bullard was one, maybe their best value pick. Great get off from the snap. Eddie Goldman, I expect a good year two jump from him. He showed more pass rush than we expected last year. They love him a lot.
I really liked what Eddie Goldman showed as a rookie last year. I think people around here are going to have high expectations for him.
Mitch Unrein made some big plays last season, both on offense and defense as the fullback. And you know, they like him enough to bring him back. And then Akeem Hicks, just a mammoth of a man. And that's what you need for that position. And they're guys that can play a 3-4, that know how to play the 3-4. So it's better than it was last year. Now you got to fill out the roster. Will Sutton, Ego Ferguson. I joke with him. He and Ego have been together there for 3 years, and there's very few players in that defense that have been on that team that long. No one really.
It's true, yeah.
So you got those guys there. You have Terry Williams, who I mentioned earlier. There's going to be kind of some undrafted rookies filing in there. Will Sutton did get a fair amount of experience, like on the kickoff return team is one of the guys out there. So maybe that helps him when it comes to making the roster. You look at some of the Cornelius Washington, a name that we kind of forget. He's been on the team since 2013, so he's real old. Sixth round pick then. He's got
the
prototypical size that you're looking for out of that position. But he was hurt all last year. We haven't seen him necessarily play a ton in this spot. So you know, I think Will Sutton's in good spot right now, especially if they need that backup nose. I think he's got a good opportunity to stick with this team as a rotational guy.
What does Mitch Unrein have to do to prove that he's more than just a guy to the average fan?
Well, I think he did a little bit of it last year by making plays in the backfield. And the way that he, you know, he's got good hands. He's not the biggest, strongest, fastest. But, you know, we talked to Jay Rogers a couple weeks ago, the defensive line coach. And he said that. He goes, look, he's not going to be the best athlete on the field. He's going to outwork everyone. And I'm listing every stereotype possible for a guy of Mitch Unrein's background.
You can say it.
But he's white.
Yes, he's white.
But he's good. I mean, look, he made more plays in the backfield in just a few games last year than Jarvis Jenkins made after Jenkins' big kind of burst onto the scene in the first couple of games, and he kind of backed off a little bit, so some of that. So, look, if Unrein's your number four, he's a great number four. rotating in. Even if he's number three, he's fine. Remember, a lot of times they're only going to have two defensive linemen on the field. Sometimes they have zero. Sometimes they'll put Pernell McPhee just on the line and they'll put a bunch of linebackers and defensive backs on the field.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears are going to be in sub packages more often than base packages. That's the way the NFL goes nowadays. So, you know, the depth here is important, but it's not as critical as it is in other spots.
And they'll rotate guys through. Look, Eddie Goldman, who might play the most snaps, or Akeem Hicks, you're only talking still 70% of the snaps of game. So the roster battles here, as we mentioned, we know our top four, Will Sonigo, Ferguson, Cornelius Washington, kind of guys from the Emery regime fighting for spots five and six. I don't know. I don't think they'll carry seven. So those, you know, it's intriguing because they're guys we've seen for a while in the new defense, which is not new anymore, and seeing which of them make the team. So thank you to Will Sutton. Apologies to listeners. Not a whole lot of fun, entertaining questions in that one. A little more football-y than
that's
some of the
okay.
interviews,
we,
which
we
is fine.
We cater to all fans
cater
here.
To all. We talked about how he's always the first one on the field. So Will Sutton is there. Let's preview next week here before we wrap things up. It's the mandatory veteran minicamp. Y'all have to be there or you get fined.
That's what they say.
Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah. If he goes up there and says, I'm only here so I don't get fined, I'd be like, props, Alshon. Props.
That's going to be very interesting in how that's handled. And
you know what, though? I'm worried it's going to be very not interesting because Alshon is just not a man of many words. He's a soft-spoken guy.
True,
I don't. Yes. He's just going to say he was in Florida. That's where he wanted to be. He was just working on his – you know, he's leaving all the contract stuff to his agent. Now, there's a report out there today – SixSaviousScore.com about John Fox and some of the Bears staff members being peeved at the situation. They've made that kind of clear. They're not happy.
That's not really news that they're unhappy about.
And you know
this.
What? My view on it doesn't matter. Alshon's under contract. He's going to play. And we'll see what happens on July 15th when they reach the deadline. And if he plays the season of the tag and has a great year, I'm sure they sign him to a long-term deal. If he's hurt again, then he might be done. And if Kevin White's great, then the Bears just move on and find other receivers. I think we've seen from this regime that they don't mind moving on from guys if they just don't think they're going to fit.
Yeah, if you're not a fit, they don't care.
So Alshon Jeffrey's the big story. I don't necessarily know if we're going to see Pernell McPhee next week. I have a feeling that one might wait till late July in Bourbonnais before we talk to him as he recovers from off-season arthroscopic knee surgery. But then you kind of keep an eye to see who if anybody else is absent. But Jeffrey being there will be the big news. We'll talk to Jay Cutler for the first time since January. We'll talk to him on Tuesday. There'll be stories and videos, of course, up on our website, profootballweekly.com/bears. We'll talk to Fox each of the 3 days, so we'll get to talk to Fox about Jeffrey. Maybe he'll provide some he's not going to provide any clarity on Pernell McPhee. But maybe we can get a little more out of John Fox, what he's seen during the OTAs, what he's seen in the minicamp. We get to ask Jay Cutler. So, Jay, another new offensive coordinator, another new playbook.
Do you think Jay's got his joke queued up for that?
He had a good one last year.
He did.
And I think it was kind of like someone mentioned how many it's been, and he was like, wow, has it really been that many? This one's different, though, because the playbook's pretty similar, and he's got a very good rapport with Dow Loggins. So, you know, I think that question will be – if it's presented in a joking manner, maybe it'll be handled that way. If it's presented, like, in a serious manner, I don't think Jay's going to be too thrilled about it.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe I'll ask him off the side, be like, hey, Jay, podcast.
Come on the podcast,
gonna,
man.
You know, we're slow playing it here.
Okay.
We're playing the long game. When it comes to Jay Cutler. But there's three practices, which means hopefully I'll press record at one of my player interviews next week.
Fingers crossed.
So next week's podcast, we'll have a player interview. We'll recap Bears mandatory veteran minicamp. And then guess what? The Bears are off for 5 weeks until July 27th when they head to Bourbonnais. But this podcast does not take a week. Well, we might take 1 week off just to refresh before the season.
Some days off.
But we'll keep going through June and into July. But next week's our last football stuff until they head out to training camp. So that'll do it for today's show. Thank yous to pass around Bears cornerback Kevin Peterson and defensive tackle Will Sutton for joining the program. Of course, our sponsor Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, SHAW. My producers, executive producer Dan Mott, associate producer John Solly, and Sam the intern, are first time here with the Chicago Football Podcast. Check out all of our Bears coverage, profootballweekly.com/Bears. Follow all of our stuff on Twitter at Bears_insider. We've got stories on Eddie Goldman, Jordan Howard, Bobby Massey. Story coming on Bryce Callahan this week. We got a hub column coming as well about Bears practices, Bears minicamp, Eddie Royal, and a video about the wide receiver. So lots of good Bears content, even though it's still June. Next week, veteran minicamp. We'll talk about some more Bears stuff right here on the Chicago Football Podcast.